In the studio, as promised with us this morning, is Dr. Rita Kerr, Amador County Health Officer. Dr. Kerr, good morning. Good morning and welcome.
Welcome.
Boy, I was surprised. I was social distancing with my in-laws at Mother's Day, a little celebration yesterday, and I got a notification on my phone. I look an email and I read it, and boom, we've moved further into stage two. And so can you explain what happened? Because the last time we heard, the board approved this letter on Thursday, and we're to send it off. And you were hoping maybe to talk to the governor this week, but things accelerated a bit?
Yes. So we worked over the weekend and managed to get our call scheduled with the state in a pretty timely fashion. Excuse me. The state people were working over the weekend as well. So Saturday, myself and the EOC public health team worked to get all the paperwork done for the attestation. Mm-hmm. And that was the state's ask, was that counties who felt they were ready and met the standards or could explain how they're going to meet the standards for a variance to move faster through stage two, mm-hmm. filled out a form developed by the state and provided supporting documentation and submitted that to the state in order to be granted the variance.
And did it take them very long, or was it just...
Well, basically, they said once you've attested, that will become a public posting, and you're able to go. And mm-hmm. so one of the things that we had to do as part of that was submit a plan for how we would move a little bit more rapidly through stage two than the rest of the state. And that list that you read this morning where we're starting. We have to monitor every step along the way to be very careful that if COVID-19 activity picks up in our community, mm-hmm. that we have certain triggers that may cause us to pull back.
What would those be? What is there a threshold?
My primary one is watching the effect on our healthcare partners, primarily Sutter Amador Hospital, to handle whatever cases are coming in. Mm-hmm. But there are a few pre-hospital indicators as well. For example, if we had three distinct clusters of cases going on within a week period, we would know that activity is ramping up significantly. There's an entire list that we provided to the state. Some of it has to do with our ability to make contact with people that are positive cases and actually elicit those contacts and put those people into quarantine or isolation as needed.
Dr. Kerr, have you come across or heard of anyone that has self-isolated, maybe not told their healthcare provider that they're doing that?
Oh, yes, definitely. In fact, at the end of March on the 30th, because testing was still pretty hard to come by at that point, we issued an order here, which is similar to an order that was happening some counties south to us. I know Fresno, Madera, Mariposa had this order in place as well, and maybe some others. And we called it a febrile respiratory illness order. What we did with that was had any patient who called in to a physician's office who said they were experiencing fever, cough, or shortness of breath automatically self-isolate whether mm-hmm. or not they were tested for COVID-19. And we had them self-isolate for 7 days and at least 3 days being fever-free without using medications to lower the fever. In the last 10 days, the CDC has done some additional study. And at this point, for a confirmed case of COVID-19, everyone would have to be isolated for 10 days from symptom onset, or in the case of someone who's asymptomatic, 10 days from the day the test was taken, mm-hmm. isolated, out of contact with others in the public, and at least 3 days fever-free and symptoms improving without use of medication.
We keep waving the 8 cases flag around in Amador County.
Right.
We may have more than 8 cases, though.
It's possible we've had more. In fact, I know we have some that are going to meet the standard definition as probable cases mm-hmm. because we had people who were close contact linked to a confirmed case. And by the time we got around to interviewing them, because in the early days, the delay on getting test results was long. It was sometimes 7 to 10 days. And by the time you found out about a case, their contacts were symptomatic and improving already.
Sure.
And so I have some that meet the probable case definition. We also, of course, have had a significant number of cases, almost twice as many as we've had confirmed in the county, that were contact investigations that Amador County Public Health got involved in because they touched residents of Amador County. And that's because people move in and out across the county lines on a regular basis for lots of reasons.
Dr. Kerr, this question was texted in as, hi, Jim. Thanks for the COVID coverage for Business Opening. Wonder if you could ask Dr. Kerr if fitness studios are in the clear as they are similar to retail as far as number of people in the business at one time. So this would not be a gymnasium, but a fitness studio.
Okay. I'm looking at the list, that the expanded list that the state provided, and no, fitness studios are not permitted in Stage 2.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about the why businesses fall into certain categories.
Sure.
Okay, the most important thing is the important things, and I'm not going to rank them, number of contacts. And as you know, lots of contacts over the course of a trip to a retail store, there are a lot of people potentially, especially in the larger venues. Mm-hmm. However, generally those people are passing by one another at a fairly rapid rate. So duration of contact is also very important. And the definition of a close contact is at least 10 minutes. And some are using up to 30 minutes as being a higher risk contact for the within the 6 foot distance. And so in a fitness studio, you've got a lot of people grouped into a relatively small space for an extended period of time. That would be considered a gathering, and that is not allowable under Stage 2.
So if I just walk past you in the store or on the sidewalk,
that is not considered a close contact.
Because when have you, JD, run into this, gotten dirty looks in the store when you walk by people?
Or you're in an aisle and you'll see somebody come and they'll pump the brakes. And I do the same thing. I don't want to walk down the busy aisle because I can't keep my 6 feet of distance.
Right. That's why they've started putting one-way arrows in the aisles. And, of course, you're not always looking at your floor as you're starting down an aisle.
But you're right. People.
That's one of the reasons.
To give you the – now, Dr. Kerr, as far as restaurants and so forth, everything is pretty well spelled out in, if you go online and you there's the, I don't have my glasses on right now. It's called the Guidance for Business.
Right.
It's pretty well spelled out there.
So Amador was working proactively to try and get some guidance out to our businesses to prepare. Mm-hmm. The state as well has created guidance. And very sector specific for different types of businesses and different types of public interaction situations. They have been uploading things since the middle of last week and are continuing to update that site regularly. The site is covid19.ca.gov. There's no dash between COVID and 19. It's just all run together. covid19.ca.gov. And click on the Resilience Roadmap tab there. And there is an extensive list of drop-down menus for guidance for each business sector. I saw a preview of the restaurant-specific guidance late last week during a health officer's board meeting, and I believe the state's going to be posting that in the early part of this week, possibly as soon as tomorrow.
So restaurants should not rush to open right now. They should wait for these guidelines to
come out. They're allowed if they put the safety measures in place because the guidance we developed is very consistent with the state guidance. They may find a few things in there to enhance the safety, and I think that's the most important point.
Gotcha.
Nobody should just flip the lights on, open the door, and go back to doing business as usual. Everybody has to take whatever precautions they can to minimize the risk of transmission for their workers and their customers.
Gotcha.
And so customers, if you're thinking about patronizing a business, take a look. Things should look a little different. Should be at half capacity, whether it's dining seating or the number of people in the store. We did some studying about what it takes to manage to get 6 foot physical distancing if a store, for example, had the most number of people in, and it really correlates pretty well with half of the fire marshal's posted capacity. So you can look at that sign and say, you know, it says 42 maximum. There's more than 21 people in this place. I better not go in. Let's talk about masks because this comes up a lot. At this point, I am not planning to issue a mandatory masking order for Amador County. People are strongly encouraged to wear a mask when they're going to be in a situation where they're going to be mixing with other people. Really, the most important things is keeping that 6 foot or more distance between people. The mask does not substitute for that. And for those workers who come in contact with a lot of the public on a regular basis using masks, and also those acrylic barriers mm-hmm. we're starting mm-hmm. to see being put in a lot of places, both of those enhance the ability to minimize the risk of transmission.
Dr. Kerr, gloves is one that we've talked a lot about, yeah. a lot of misconceptions about gloves.
Yes.
You even see people handling money that never change the gloves, things
right.
like that. What's your
and that's the problem with gloves. Gloves are no substitute for hand hygiene. Hand washing, hand sanitizer, both more effective than gloves.
Okay.
I'll tell you when I wear gloves. I wear gloves when I'm going to handle a gas pump. And then I take them off before I even touch my car door handle, and I sanitize my hands before I touch the steering wheel. Pretty selective about when gloves are appropriate. Of course, healthcare workers wear them and then change them between every encounter.
Sure, sure.
That's the important.
I was watching it on one of the news channels we had on this morning. They were showing people standing outside of businesses, checking people, and they had masks, but they were wearing gloves, and they looked like dishwashing gloves. And it was like, come on, this is, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, I'd rather see somebody sanitizing their hands.
I would, too. I ran into a situation last night, and I met somebody. They said, oh, this is my friend, blah, blah. I said, hey, how you doing? And the guy reached his hand out, and I shook his hand.
Just out of habit.
And I was like,
what have I done?
And I didn't. As soon as I got home, I washed my hand. I wouldn't touch anything with my hand.
Don't touch your face.
Seriously, I had an eye itch, so I used this hand and I drove there. But so, Dr. Kerr, what about, for example, a restaurant? Let's say a restaurant also is governed by the state and the ABC.
Yes.
Okay. So do our rules cover ABC rules? Are they
all in
with that? As
long as we are authorized for this variance. And the restaurants are implementing the precautions, like the limited number of customers, mm-hmm. not allowing people outside of the same household to congregate at a single table,
sure,
having
sure.
more than 6 feet spacing between the tables. They're still allowed to serve alcoholic beverages, but their lounges, their bars, their tasting rooms are not allowed to be open yet in stage two.
Okay. Now, what about the ABC, which I didn't understand this one. You can order a drink with food and take out with you. Are they still allowing the takeout drinks?
As far as I know, they have not pulled back on that.
That's just got a weird sound to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'll have an order of fries and 37 brandy and sevens to go, please. That just
I don't know if they'd allow for 37.
So, Dr. Kerr, do you think... I mean, do you get a feeling that Amador is going to go along with this? Do you think, because I hope everybody follows the rules, and it'll just get us there faster.
I absolutely hope they follow the rules as mm-hmm. well, because if people make decisions that are too high risk and we start to see increasing case numbers, there's every possibility that we're going to have to pull back and
sure.
institute more restrictions, and I really hope we don't have to go there.
Let me ask you about this, JD, real quick,
yeah.
Dr. Kerr. The question on everyone's mind, we had a story about it today, the Amador County Fair. Now, the state fair is canceled. Calaveras is set for this week. Motherlode Fair will meet tonight. Amador's meeting. Does that fall under stage three or stage four?
It's really closer to a stage four because it is a gathering. It may be late stage three. Rich Hoffman and I had a phone discussion a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. I mentioned the fact to him that a lot of seniors go to the Amador County Fair, and the guidance for them will remain throughout this, that they should really be staying at home. So if that impacts their ability to put on a fair and have, you know, the kind of attendance that they would want, I think that would be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Another issue is that it's highly likely the state would strongly discourage the carnival rides, because you think about all those kids touching
sure.
those rides and having to sanitize in between. They're not only that, but think about the fact that the state fair canceled already
yes.
and tends to overlap Amador's fair that last weekend. If all those people who are wanting to go to a fair come up from the valley,
I didn't think of that.
That's a huge issue for Amador, having all those population mixing with our population. At this point, we really have to be focusing on our locals, protecting our locals. This business reopening is intended for our locals. Distance travel, tourism is still not okay. Yeah.
Okay. Just got another text here. You mentioned personal grooming, or you know, dog grooming, lawn mowing. What about hair and hair cutting, barber and hair salons?
That one, at this point, the state still has it in stage 3.
Okay.
The regional health officers have been debating this and helping write safety plans. The biggest challenge with those kind of hands-on personal care services is that they are hands-on, so they're inherently within 6 feet.
Gotcha.
And the duration of contact is often 30 minutes or longer.
Even my haircut takes 15 minutes.
Right. And so exactly.
People can't see me, but I have a buzz cut.
Right. So let me say that, and you think about the fact that a single purveyor of service would have, you know, if they have 30-minute appointments and work 8 to 10 hours a day, maybe in contact with 15 to 20 different clients a day. And if they were sick and didn't even know they were sick yet, you can shed virus for a couple days before you develop symptoms. Mm-hmm. They automatically have 20 close contacts who then are all potentially taking it home to their families and loved ones.
Totally.
Exactly.
That's why it's in stage 3 at this point.
Well, you said something today that I hadn't heard yet, because I'm not following it every day, and you know, but the duration of time, that's a big one. You see people meeting and they think, oh, they're starting to loosen up, we can get together, and you're saying
gatherings
churches
are not allowed.
I watched this over the weekend. I saw a church down in Ione where there was probably 50 people outside hanging out together, touching each other and everything. Church is an hour-long type of deal, right?
That's one of the reasons that there have been significant outbreak clusters related to churches. And when churches come back, it's going to be at partial capacity.
Okay.
They may have to split into multiple services. They can only allow households to sit together, but we're not there yet because of that long duration of contact.
Incredibly irresponsible. I mean, it's like a sporting event almost, the amount of people.
Dr. Kerr, we're talking with Dr. Rita Kerr, Amador County Health Officer, this morning. Again, the county issued yesterday a release that both the county and state have worked together to come on, let us kind of the flexibility to move forward with stage 2. One of them is child care facilities. So I would assume with a limited number. Dr. Kerr, I'm asking these questions. Are these all outlined in the business guidance part of this?
Yes. If you click COVID-19.ca.gov and you do that drop-down member, you can take any given sector and they will have guidance. Actually, child care facilities for the essential workforce have been operating throughout stage 1.
Oh, really?
Yes, because otherwise how do the essential workers go to work?
Yeah.
And with the school distance learning and those kids aren't in school all day, schools could choose to offer child care.
Mm-hmm.
And there are specific rules, like having a stable cohort of kids that comes to the regular classroom every given day. So you're not having different kids in and out of that child care situation.
Gotcha. Yeah.
No shared facilities, no shared playground time, very specific guidance and sanitizing guidance. So it's all laid out on that website.
Next question. Does each business need to present its own plan, or do we adhere to and post our county's plan?
Adhere to? Well, you can.
This is a retail business.
You can take the county's plan as a baseline and write your own plan. If you have questions about the specifics and you want someone to review it, you may contact publichealth@amadorgov.org,
mm-hmm.
publichealth@amadorgov.org. Send an email. Go ahead and include your phone number in the email so that if we need to get a hold of you with specific questions, we can do that. And also, our environmental health colleagues will certainly be available to consult with and coach specifically the restaurant sector, which they normally oversee, through this process.
So any business owner that has a question should go to this website, go to the county website, and again, it's very easy. Go to the public health section, and then there's business guidelines. That should pretty well give them the answers to any questions they may have.
Right, that gives them the baseline. And if they have something specific to their business and they're kind of a out-of-the-ordinary sector, of course they can use the California COVID-19.ca.gov. Either set of guidance is going to get you kind of a list of things you need to do to make your business safer.
Hey, I got a question that just called in, and I thought you kind of mentioned something similar to this in the beginning, but somebody asked about they want to have a garage sale. Is it okay to have a garage sale? Would that be a responsible thing to do?
If it is done with the safety precautions of a retail, and particularly if it's outdoors and they limit the number of people who come at any one time, for example, you know, they have a depending on how big it is, maybe
the swap meet in Sutter Creek at the Italian Picnic Grounds.
That, again, is as an outdoor retail, would be allowable with safety precautions in place.
So it says destination retail, including swap meets.
Right.
What is a destination retail?
Well, so
mean?
For example, it's multiple vendors at a given location. For example, a shopping mall, which we don't have one of those big ones here, although we do have shopping centers.
Yeah, strip malls.
And then another thing that is going to be starting up soon is farmers markets. And actually, those would have been considered under stage one because food is essential. And we'd already been providing guidance to the farmers market organizers about how to make their
event safer. What about an event or a business like Roaring Camp, for example? We get in the truck and we ride to the bottom and have our meal and ride back up.
Right.
What's...
So, for example... at this point, again, we're discouraging tourism.
Sure.
But we are in active discussions, at least I am, with our neighboring counties about how to handle requests for camping for locals and trying to get a consistent approach for that. I know that there are people who live here in Jackson who park their trailer up at one of the lakes all summer and want to be able to go up on weekends. And
plazas, for
example. That seems like it would be reasonable. I think the challenge is figuring out how to limit it to locals and make sure that, you know, people aren't sneaking in from other areas, or a local books it and then brings a group of other friends from
elsewhere.
Yes, that's the problem.
Another question. Any estimate when we will move into stage three?
It will take several weeks because there's the two-week incubation period after exposure, and then it's an average of 3 weeks after someone, so from the time of exposure until needing hospitalization. So most roadmap plans that I have reviewed have talked about a 30-day window for moving between stages.
Okay.
And it's not automatically that it'll go straight to stage three. I think we're going to all have to, all the way up and down our Sierra Foothill region, where most of the counties are attesting, are going to be watching this data together and making a decision together when it makes sense to move again.
Okay. They said thank you. That was a thank you. Any other questions you'd like to answer, or anything else you would like to maybe just say?
I will wrap up by saying thank you to our community for the sacrifices they've made to this point, keeping our numbers low, keeping each other safe. Mm-hmm. Let's proceed with this reopening mindfully and respect one another.
Gotcha. Dr. Kerr, thank you very much. We've kind of extended your time. We said just a few minutes. Thank you very much. But I just want you to, it reassures people to hear from you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just reassures people.
I'm glad to get the word out.
There we go. All right. Dr. Kerr, thank you very much. Coming up, sports and more.